Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you, God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times, God's going to set fire to your barley field. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know a righteous man will fall, but you guess what? Seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my ass. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth and fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in whipping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley field. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in a lake that's burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything in my life between me and you, God, help me to confess it and forsake it. God! Search me! God, get everything out of the way!
Hey, shalom, Israel. Shalom, shalom, shalom. How's everybody hearing my voice tonight? Am I coming in all right? I guess that's first order of business is the audio check. Well, I guess folk are coming a little bit slow in the room tonight. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm assuming I'm on the air. Glory to the King. Hey, bless you all. Hope you all had a good beginning of the week. And a great Shabbat with that wonderful message that we had, of course. Hallelujah. Always edifying to know where we are in reality, what we have to do to get closer to our soon coming King. All right. Thank you all for the report. Looks like the audio is coming in real good. We had a long day here. I mean, we did like, I guess it was close to 300 chickens today, butcher chickens, so we can get some winter stock built up. Because I'll tell you what, from a week-to-week basis, we have a lot of people that show up here, a lot of people, a lot of new saints, new faces, a lot of old faces. People just love to come to the community and feel the peace and the testimony that we get is, you know, the love of the brethren. You know, it is a beautiful, glorious thing. We're all together trying to strive for unity and trying to get into the kingdom, obviously. Hallelujah. But anyway, as you saw by the title that Brother Shane posted earlier for tonight's blog, you know, it's called The Waiting Game, but actually it's not a game. It all depends on your life, your eternity. It depends on what you're going to do after the life goes out of your body, because Messiah said that, are there few that be saved? Yeah, just a few. And so it's all about waiting patiently, and that's what we're going to talk to tonight, because, you know, this race isn't for everybody. Obviously, somebody, you know, people quit, they throw in the towel, they make up excuses for whatever the reason they can't endure, you know, because of some offense. You know, like Pastor talked about the parables in Matthew 13 yesterday, beautiful illustration. Yeshua laid it out there perfectly, the type of ground that the seed falls on. And you got to be a fool to think that it won't, you're not on them ground. You ought to think that you're the perfect ground, the one that's going to increase 30, 60, 100-fold. Don't be deceived. But anyway, that's tonight's title. It's The Waiting Game. And with that, of course, Brother Paul, thank you so much for always being here to post for the saints. Hallelujah. Brother Ugly, 104 degrees? Come on. My glasses are kind of smeared. Is that 104? In Toronto, Canada? That's Celsius. It got to be. Anyway, glory to the King. Good to have you all in the room. And with that, we're going to get started. I see there's people still kind of wandering in, but glory to the King, they just have to catch up. All right, The Waiting Game. This is the title of tonight's study. Oh, you did find something, huh? All right, bless you, Brother JC. Glory to the King. All right, Brother Ugly has a new post, 40 degrees Celsius. All right, we got it. Hallelujah. We're going to start right in the book of Sirach, the second chapter, Ecclesiasticus, second chapter. That is one hell of a chapter. I think I've mentioned on my last blog talk, and it's one that pretty much sums up everything in one chapter, in a few verses, but boy, it's packed, it's loaded, and if you haven't got around to reading it, do it, because it's just full of nuggets, full of sound, eternal advice. But anyway, with that, we're going to get on to Sirach chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and I think it goes all the way to, let me see, 18. Yeah, I hear you, Brother Paul. Absolutely. Looking grim. You better believe it. All right. It says, my son, if thou come to serve the big Q, if you actually have a made-up mind you're going to serve the Most High, prepare thy soul for temptation, because as soon as you stand up and say that you are of Jesus Christ, that you are of his kingdom, that you're born again, saved and washed by his blood, prepare your soul for temptation, because it's going to come. Because right away the devil has a big target painted on your face, painted on your back. He's going to try to take you down whatever way, shape, form he can. And he's going to use you to do it. Verse 2, set thy heart aright. The first instruction, get yourself right, get yourself upright, get yourself your head on right, your heart on right, and constantly endure. Constantly means always and without interruption, again and again without end, meaning it's going to come. The temptations are going to be relentless. So get your heart right, get your mindset right. These things are continually going to come at you time and time again, but the key is to endure and make not haste in time of trouble. So when things go awry, when you get too overwhelmed, don't turn around and get your rear end and flee out of this place. Flee out of somewhere and go another place. Forsake the Most High. That's when you try to draw closer to him. Make not haste in time of trouble. Cleave unto him, mean drawing close to him, pulling him closer, like it is when you were first saved. You remember when you were first saved, your salvation, how all that you had in front of you was the Messiah? That was your day, your thoughts when you got up in the morning, your thoughts through the day. You're crying out to him. You're reading his word. And depart not away. Again, we have it twice. Make not haste in time of trouble and depart not away. Stay in your place. Endure that thou mayest be increased at the last end. Because if you leave, you're not going to get no increase at all. No treasure, no reward. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully. The trial of your faith, right? And be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. Brought low. For what? Everything's about the Father trying to bring you in a position, put you in a place where he can actually work with you, like Pastor was talking about, molding you when he was preaching the Shabbat message, taking you as a lump of clay and actually doing something to you, and that means taking you back down to the base elements so he can build you back up again if you allow it. Because the one thing that the Father cannot go against or above is your will. And be thou patient when thou art changed to a low estate, for gold is tried in the fire and acceptable in the furnaces of adversity. The key word is adversity. Again, make not haste and depart not away, because there will be adversity. You know, my wife sent me a couple videos last week about gold being refined, and it's absolutely totally amazing to see the amount of heat and fire that it takes to burn off and purge out the dross to get refined pure gold. I mean, it's staggering. It's almost blinding the light. But if you get an opportunity, go watch some videos on smelting gold and purifying it. You know, I've heard testimonies of people that have been here. Yah, just purge me. Father, please just purge me. I want to be pure. And what happens? Bye. The purging comes and they can't endure. So, you know, what are you? How does your value hold up in the realm of the kingdom? Are you a base or metal? Are you anything lower than gold, aluminum, zinc, and anything that doesn't have a whole lot of value? Because the Bible is pointing about gold, the top of the precious metals. And it says, believe in him, and he will help thee. If you put your whole heart, your whole trust, your whole desire in the Most High, he will help you. And order thy way aright and trust in him. Back again to verse 2. Set thy heart aright. Order thy way aright. Make your focus all about the Most High. And of course, this requires action. You must be determined to do all that you can do to please the Father in everything. And be able to prove to him that you are willing to do whatever it takes to remain obedient in constant fear of the Most High. Whatever it takes. And ye that fear the Most High, wait for his mercy and go not aside, lest ye fall. How many times have we heard this so far in 7 verses? Make not haste in time of trouble, depart not away, go not aside. The admonishment is to stay focused, stay in the race, because this is the time of temptation. The Bible talks about an hour of temptation that shall come upon the face of the whole earth. Verse 8, and ye that fear the Most High, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. You that fear the Most High, hope for good. Boy, that's a difficult thing, isn't it? Hope. Trust in Yahweh with all my heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but hope for good and for everlasting joy and mercy. Look at the generations of old. So we're getting instruction here. Look back at what happened in the past, what is written, what we have historical account of, and see and take note of. Did ever any trust in Yahweh and was confounded? The answer is absolutely no. Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Absolutely not. You know, take, for example, Yosef, when he's in Egypt, when he first got into Egypt, when he was sold into Egypt. All the pain and suffering he had to endure when he was in prison. But the whole time he kept his hope in the Most High, in spite of all the adversity that was constantly on him day in and day out, and shatters him, you know, challenge to his emotions, challenge to his feelings, trying to get him to doubt what the Father was trying to do, trying to change him. He stayed the course, and he wasn't forsaken. Yah will never forsake us. He won't leave us or forsake us, but he's going to do everything in his time and not ours. And whom did he ever despise that called upon him? Nobody. Out of a true heart, a heart that really wanted to be repentant, a heart that wanted to change. For the Most High is full of compassion and mercy, long-suffering, very pitiful. And he forgiveth sins and saveth in time of affliction. Woe be to fearful hearts and faint hands. There's a woe. The woe is here. And faint hands and the sinner that goeth two ways, double-minded, tries to stay one foot in and one stay out. It does not work. It will not cut it with the Most High. Woe unto him that is faint-hearted. So what happens when you're faint-hearted? The bottom line, it says in Sirach, you believe not. Therefore shall he not be defended. The Father is not going to stand in your stead because you believe not. The word faint-hearted means to be feeble, unenthusiastic, and done without conviction. Become weak or lose courage. Remember, are there few that be saved? Yes, just a few. It says in verse 14 again, continuing, three woes. Woe unto you that have lost patience. You give up, you can't take it no more. This is not a right way of perfecting. I can think of other ways that the Father can make me get to the kingdom. But Jesus said in John chapter 10 that these are thieves and robbers that enter in by another way. This is all about trying. The Father said way back in the Torah that I'm going to prove you to see what's in you, to see if you actually got the mustard to get into the kingdom, because these are the ones that are going to make it in. And what will you do when Yahshua shall visit you? You're going to be speechless, got nothing to say. You got no treasures, no reward, because you quit. They that fear the Most High will not disobey his word, and they that love him will keep his ways. So if you have the fear of the Most High, you're going to keep his word no matter what. No matter what the cost, no matter what the pain. I mean, we deal with a lot of people here that come out of these family situations. The father's, you know, he's calling to the wife and not and trying to draw her up, trying to illuminate the truth to her, and she's going to feel the adversity. We have the same thing with the husband. And Jesus said he didn't come to send a sword. Or peace, I'm sorry. He didn't come to send peace, he come to send a sword. He shall divide a family. It's painful. It hurts, but it's part of. So what are you going to give? What are you going to trade? It's all about your servitude to the Most High. It's all about what you're going to determine to do to get to his kingdom, to serve him forevermore. What are you going to do? Trade up for the riches of this life? For what? You're going to throw in the towel for what? No, Yah don't use quitters. He don't acknowledge quitters. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's what Yahshua said. Again, they that fear the Most High will not disobey his word. And they that love him will keep his ways. And they that fear Most High will seek that which is well, pleasing unto him, constantly striving. Everything is all about Yah. Father, what do I have to do to please you? Just be a servant. Be a righteous servant. Pleasing unto him. And they that love him shall be filled with his Torah. You know why they're filled with the Torah? Because that is going to be the benchmark whereby they will not go out and sin. Hide my word in thy heart. And they that fear the Most High will prepare their hearts and humble their souls in his sight, saying, we will fall into the hands of the Most High. And not they're going to totally trust whatever judgment that the Father has for them, for their perfection. That's what I want. I don't care what any man on the face of this earth can do. I want whatever the Father would want for me. I'm going to fall in it because he's going to pull me out of that. And not into the hands of men, for as his majesty is, so is his mercy. And that is eternal and unmeasurable. Daniel chapter 7, verse 23 through 25. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Another king rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kings. But there's a key. All these things, there's a warning here. We see these antichrist figures that are moving up, that are being exposed, being shown, being manifested, and there's going to be a significant thing that they're going to try to do. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's that? This antichrist figure. It could be the spirit in your head. It could be a man speaking to you. And what's the bottom line? And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Get him to throw in the towel, quit, turn around, forget about the adversity and forget about the temptation. I'm done. I want a comfortable environment. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times. The word wear out in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, is the Hebrew 1080. It's balah, and this is out of the Brown Drivers. It means to wear away, wear out. It means to harass constantly. And they shall wear out the saints by what? Harassing them constantly. Where? In the physical as well as the mental. In the mind is the battlefield. And once the thought enters into the mind, if there's an emotion placed with the thought, you got trouble. Because if it doesn't bring peace, you know it's of Satan. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. And this is Paul's admonishment to the Hebrews. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't throw it away. You started out with a confidence. You started out with a reassurance. Don't cast it away. Because why? Which have the great recompense of reward. It's going to earn you something if you stay in the way. For you have need of patience coming back again. What happens? We want things done in our time, our way, according to what we believe that the things should fold out for our life. So we feel good about life. We want control. But no, if you're a servant to the Most High, the Father's in control. If you're going to stand up and testify that Yahshua is your Savior, He is the one in control. You are a willing vessel. You are a servant. You are bought with a price. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of the Most High, after, not before, but after, you might receive the promise. You have to get through something in order to receive that promise. It is just not handed out to anybody or anything. It has to be earned. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. The just. But if any man draw back, pull away, go back, return, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Return back to the ways of the old man. Return back to the ways of the dog and the vomit, the pig and the mire, back to the ways of the heathen, back to the comfort of the world. No, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto the perdition. Who are them that are not of them that draw back? Them are the just that will live by faith. They are not are the ones that are going to be drawn back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 18. Again, this is Paul. Knowing that he which raised up Yahshua HaMashiach shall raise up also by Yahshua, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many be redound to the glory of Yahshua. Yeah. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yeah, it's supposed to be crucified every day. That old way, that old idea, that old embellishment of who you used to be is supposed to be being dying every day. Yet the inner man is renewed day by day through the Spirit of Messiah, through his word, through fasting, through prayer. for drawing closer to him, for putting nothing between you and him, for our light affliction. And I'll tell you what, it is something. And hey, I'm guilty as anybody else when we get tested with a trial. The Father's trying to prove us. There's a temptation before us. You know, we blow this thing up like it's the biggest thing in the world. But Paul said, man, it's just light affliction. There ain't nobody here on the face of this earth, at least that I know, in the United States, and it's part of Straightway, that can ever boast of what Paul went through in his days. I mean, that guy, that was a half a chapter. He wrote it all out, man, and nobody has been to that, not only mentally, but physically, too. He was tried every way, and he endured, and he calls it a light affliction. So we have something to measure up to, and it's coming, too. If your heart's not prepared, you're not going to get there, which is but for a moment, just a short time. It feels like it could last for a year, 2 years, 3 years. It shouldn't, but it might. But the fact that Paul said is just for a moment. And this span of time, we are, it's just a vapor, just a little bit. For all of eternity, yeah, in that type of measurement, just for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, so we try to measure ourselves by what we see, by what we are, the lust of our soul is by what enters into the physical in through the ear, through the eye. And we gauge our eternity on that. But Paul said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Beyond that, the eternal. For the things which are seen are temporary, all these temporal. This stuff is going to pass away. Everything's going to be recreated, sterilized, and rebirthed. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that the carnal-minded man, the outward man, can't see and has no vision for. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Be patient. Again, this thing of this patience. Wait. Because I'll tell you what, an impatient person is one that goes beyond the will of the Most High, is going to get it done no matter what, if it's right or wrong, doesn't have the ability to hear. Be patient, therefore, brethren, under the coming of the Most High. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. He's not going to give up hope. That which he planted, that which has been watered, when the spring and fall rains come, he knows that if he waits long enough, he's going to get a harvest that he can sustain his house, all right, sustain himself. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts. Boy, didn't that meet what Sirach said? Establish your hearts. Get them right. Get them ready. Get ready for the temptation. For the coming of Yahweh draweth nigh. Are there few that be saved? Grudge not one against another. Did I tell you, Brother Paul, what did I say? It's all the way to verse 11, I'm sorry. 7 through 11, I hope I did say that. Anyway. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets. So we have something to actually look at, something that's already been written that we can actually use to help strengthen us, because who have spoken in the name of Yahweh for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Remember, Paul just said it's a light affliction. It's just a short season. But we have the prophets of that Yahweh has raised up, the Most High, to go to his people to tell them where they've messed up, to get it right, as an example of what happens to them when the very people they go to turn around and bring affliction upon them. But they waited patiently. Yeah, did they cry out? Sure. Pastor talked about that in Shabbat. Man, that's how your prayer should be, crying out. I know mine are. Cry out to the Father. An example. So we have to do is go back and look at the prophets. There's plenty of books written about what they went through, but they knew who they were doing it for. They counted him faithful. Chapter 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Why? Why would you count them happy? Because they're going through all the trials. They're not backing out. They're not dropping out. They're continuing on in the faith. That's what it's all about. You have heard of the patience of Job. There's an entire book, what, 42 chapters? And you have seen the end of the Most High, that the Most High is very pitiful and of tender mercy. As long as he knows your heart is to stay in it and not run, he's going to be pitiful and full of mercy. Every day I get up, Father, my prayers, my devotion, that's the first thing. Thank you for your mercy this day. The word patience, as let me see, we find in James chapter 5, verse 10. It's the Greek 31:15, and I won't even pronounce it. It's like 50 letters long, but it means patience, endurance, suffering, affliction, and of endurance, suffering, affliction, and consistency, of steadfastness, perseverance, patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 8. All right, we're going to go through these, and we're going to do a station break here for any possible new listeners. But anyway, Psalm chapter 25. Remember, this is called the waiting game. All right? Verse 1, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Yahweh, do I lift up my soul. It's only unto you, the Most High. O my Yah, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Why? Why would he be ashamed? Because his trust is in the Father. There's nothing he knows the one that will deliver him. And let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without, let them which transgress without cause, let these ones be ashamed. Show me thy ways, O Yahweh. Teach me thy paths. I want to know about you, Father. I want to know how to fear you and walk in fear and trembling continually. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. This is David's petition, Father. Just, I want more. I want more of you. I want to know more about you, less about me. I want that old thing out of me dead. I want everything. I want nothing between me and you. And teach me, for thou art Yahweh and my salvation. It's not in any other man. This is in the Father. That's where the salvation, through Yahshua, Jesus HaMashiach, that's where our salvation comes. On thee do I wait all the day. All the day. Wait all day. Just to hear. Just to know that the Father's there. Just to feel that. You felt the prick to go pray. Ever been in that position before that you know that it's time for you to go down and hit your knees? For whatever reason, the Father, it may be for your own well-being. It may be for intercession for somebody else. And you just feel that. And it's, man, I'll tell you what. And you skip it and you don't do it. It's just like, yeah, what the shame, man. That's like, ugh. It's a really bad taste in the soul. Verse 6, remember, O Yahweh, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. And David's reminding the Father of who his character is. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, because I tell you, yeah, we've done plenty of things that Father has said, I can already damn your soul to hell. Don't remember these things, Father. Look at what I'm trying to do now. Measure the thoughts and the intents of my heart according to thy mercy. Again, that's what he's saying. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Yahweh. Look at me. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to accomplish something. I'm trying to prove to you, Father, that I'm an obedient servant. Good and upright is Yahweh. Therefore, he will teach sinners in that way if you have a teachable spirit. As we said here many years ago, as Pastor brought forth way a long time ago. Anyway, we're going to do a ministry break if I can actually see this, and we'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High YAH. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Glory, the King is coming. To all those that endure and wait for his coming. Hallelujah. All right, back at it. Of course, this is called... Hold on a minute. It's called the waiting game for anybody that just joined up. It's not a game. It's all about enduring and waiting. That's what we're talking about. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. It says, Yahweh is my portion, or Yahweh is my possession. He is my inheritance, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Yahweh is good unto them that wait for him. If he knows that you're actually patiently waiting, that you're trying, if you're dealing with the adversity, if you're dealing with the temptations and the thoughts in your mind, those ungodly emotions and things that want to take you out, Yahweh is good unto them that he knows the thoughts and intents. Your desire is to serve him, to please him. And unto them that wait for him, look eagerly for him, yearn for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is a good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. These two things. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Most High. Psalm chapter 25, verse 16 through 22. Verse 16. Turn thou unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate. I am lonely. I am solitary. I am beside myself and afflicted. Man, Father, you see my present state. I'm having a little trouble in my life here. Things aren't going the best. I've probably given myself play to some kind of wickedness. Have mercy on me. Please, Father, hear my prayer. Hear my cries. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me thou out of my distresses. Man, who hadn't cried that before? I'm telling you. I know I have. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Man, this is what's causing these sins. That's where the pain and the affliction's coming from, these sins. Because if you're not in a sinful state, you should have peace. If you're not in a wicked state, you should have peace. Consider mine enemies all the hordes of hell. Not only, I'm not talking about natural, I'm talking about spiritual. They are many, continually. Remember about what we said in Sirach chapter 2, verse 1. It's the temptations. Prepare yourself for the temptations. They are many. All these things are designed to take you out of the way. Yah is going to have a purified vessel standing before him without spot or blemish. That's why, again, there are few that be saved. People take this stuff lightly, but I have no idea why. I mean, there's only one shot at this. Don't mess it up. I mean, what a privilege. Do you think, what an honor to actually be called into this and to actually despise that and poo-hoo that and not get yourself to tell yourself that this is for your soul? Jesus. How many people are, I grew up in a family of 9 people, and I'm the one that got chosen. I have no idea why. I have a twin brother that's a half hour older than me. We have the almost exact same DNA. But the Father chose to give me a mind to serve him and not my brother. Come on, Jesus, what do you think? I'm going to throw that away? Bring me down here. Put me on a place. Oh, Jesus. Glory. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Ah, glory to the King. Hey, I still think that the Father can still move me with his word, I'll tell you what. Glory. Cause me to fear. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. His integrity and his uprightness preserve me, not mine. For I wait for thee. Redeem, O Israel, O Yahweh, out of all his troubles, because we have many. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. A psalm of Dawid again. Boy, David, he had a connection with the Most High, didn't he? He understood how to pray. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall shew me cut down like grass if you just endure and hold on. It withers a green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself, make merry, be merry inside, also in the Most High, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way to the Most High, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But be careful, like he said in verse 4, Yahweh will give you the desires of your heart if you delight him first. But James says in his, when James' writings, you consume these things upon your own lust. That's something you believe is your desire when it's not the desire of the Most High. But either way, you push hard enough, you're going to get it. One is to betterment and one is to destruction. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Most High. Don't do it in mind. Don't do it in mental acknowledgement. It's going to take real action. It's going to take the action of the word, that which is preached. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh. Just be at peace. And wait patiently for him. It's a patient waiting. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked. It looks like somebody else is excelling. It looks like somebody else doesn't have to go through all the trials, the tribulations, the inflictions. The righteous afflictions that you're enduring looks like they're getting way ahead in the game, but no, they're not. You wait patient for the Father. He will deliver you. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Most High, these are the ones shall inherit the earth. Psalm 69, verse 1 through 6. to the chief musician upon Shoshishinim. Well, that's close enough. That's all, David. These long words, man. If they got more than five letters, it's up. Anyway, save me, O Yahweh, for the waters, this is an overwhelming state, are coming to my soul. I'm being so, it's just like the whole world is just dumped on me. But this is a season. Paul said it's a light affliction. It's just a short season. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Man, I'm drowning in this stuff. And I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. That's all David sees, man. I can't see nothing but despair. It's like, what am I? Father, he's still crying out, though. I am weary of crying. Man, he's been going for a while, but the father is testing his patience. Are you going to stop? Are you going to quit crying out to him? No, he's like, but Dave said, man, I'm weary. I want to, and my throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my Yahweh. I want, Father, give me an answer. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me. That's every one of Satan's little devices. Every one of them coming against you. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. You just came, the Father birthed you into this. Didn't he? He called you. He chose you. You didn't ask for these enemies, but they're in front of you because they're trying. You're a target. They're trying to get you out of the way. They're trying to steal your reward. Are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O Yahweh, thou knowest my foolishness. Hey, this is the thing that invited these enemies in, and my sins are not hid from thee. I messed up someplace, Father. I allowed this crap in. Please, endure me. I'm trying to get out of this mess. Let not them that wait on thee, O Yahweh host, be ashamed for thy sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O Yah of Israel. Again, it's all about waiting, about holding fast, about enduring, about not dropping out, about not quitting, about not throwing in the towel. To the devil, you think it's, we're in the green now. We ain't even seen the dry. I mean, we got everything we need for comfort nowadays. We have a place to lay our heads. Thank you, Father. We have a roof over our heads. Thank you the most. We have food every day. Thank you, Father. Relative comfort. Thank you, Father. But he took these people out in the wilderness to prove them. The weather, the season. And how many survived? Everybody knows the answer is only two. Out of all Israel that left Egypt, they left captivity. Just two out of the few that be saved. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 5. Song of Degrees. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Yahweh. You see through David, the one thing that he did continually is he cried out. He never held his heart back, Father. But one thing that David did, not only did he cry out, he set action to, he's going to show the Father he means business. I mean, you can sit there on your bed and cry it all day. You can sit on your bedside for months and say, Father, help me, change my heart. Change who I am, but he's not going to do anything to actually start to walk in what he said to do. And then he will. Yahweh, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. David's entreating, Father, please, Yahweh, hear me. Please hear me. If Yahweh should mark his iniquities, Father, if you can remember where I messed up, how's anybody going to make it? I can't stand. Nobody can. But there is forgiveness with thee, reminding the Father what there is. That thou mightest be feared, because he has the one the power of life and death. I wait for Yahweh, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, talking about Israel, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Most High, and my judgment is passed over from Yahweh? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting Elohim, the Master, the King, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power, which means strength, to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Man, you're in your last days, you're continually crying out, Father, and he will strengthen you if your heart's right. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail, man. The patience is going to wear thin. I can't do this no more. I can't endure this no more. But he gives us a promise in verse 31. Says, but they that wait upon the Most High, they will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise, saints. Luke chapter 12, 35 through 4. It's my bifocals. Give me a break, man. It's my bifocals. Jeez. Hallelujah. Luke back to 12, verses 35 through 40. All right. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. That's the admonition. You're a candle. You're on a hill. You can't be hid. Let your lights be burning. And you yourselves likened to men that wait for the Most High, looking patiently for him, waiting for him, enduring, because the husbandman's coming back. The Savior's coming back. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, the ones which what? The ones which are waiting patiently, that open immediately, that have their lights burning. Blessed are the servants whom the Most High, when he cometh, shall find watching. They were looking. Their hearts didn't fail them for fear. They didn't give up. They didn't lose patience. They didn't go back out into the world. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come into the third watch, and shall find them so, blessed are them continually, always sober, always looking. And this know, that if the goodman in the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched. I mean, well, wouldn't that be great to know if something is about ready to be perpetrated upon you, you had that discernment, like, man, you know, that exact hour you're going to be out looking out your front door, the 12-gauge shotgun sawed off. Ain't no way this fool getting to my place, or whatever the case may be, but it's a continual watching through prayer and fasting. That if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken through, not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. You know, this is not only about his coming again, when he comes back as master and king of this earth, but it could be in the hour of your death. I mean, it could be tomorrow. You have no idea. We take it for granted. Like, we have all these days that we got to get it right. That's just Yah's mercy, but it could come tonight in your sleep. You never know when your time is up. So are you ready for the hour, or aren't you thinking about it? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son. Hey, that's how Sirach started out too, my son. Talking about somebody trying to teach them, admonish them, allowing them to grow in grace and in knowledge, like we talked, like Pastor talked about Shabbat, the knowledge of the Most High. It's a growth process. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Most High, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, because it's going to come. Does it come by the Holy Spirit? You better believe it, but it also comes by man. He uses a mouthpiece. Hey, if you got ears to hear, it might come by a child, if you have ears to hear. For whom the Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth. So if you're not receiving chastisement, if you're not seeing reproof or admonishment, if you're just going on carefree in your life, like it's, I'm free, I feel at peace because my flesh is good, you got to ask yourself, you're actually in the will of the Most High. Because he's going to prove you every day. For whom the Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, if you actually hold fast to it, if you actually give Yah thanks in all things, that is something I have to continue, myself, I have to continually remember. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's been a busy morning. It's been a pretty, overwhelming day as far as, this comes up and that comes up. And, you know, I thought I was going to, do this and that, all these things. But these are just light things, you know, just whatever. It'll work out. All things work together for the good. But if you endure chastening, Yah deal with you as sons, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore are all partakers? Everybody, there's no exclusion. If you're in the body, expect chastisement. It's all for your betterment, for your perfection. Because the Father wants to present himself. He wants the people that come before him pure and holy. And that's what he's doing. He's actually using it for his own glory. We're of all our partakers, and you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had fathers after our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they truly, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And that, and again, at the last minute, the last two or three days, I had my blog talk all done. You know, I had it studied out weeks ago. I thought it was pretty good, but it all had to do with value. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to tell you value. But all of a sudden, it got changed in the last two or three days. That's just the way that, you know, Most High does it. But for a few days, chastised after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening. Boy, chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Nah, man, it's tough. When you're trying to work out the dross, when you're trying to be purged. And that's another thing, you know, if you go to the Father in prayer, if you give a testimony, you know, Father, purge me, get rid of this dross. And he's going to do it. But if you faint, that's on you, not him. He's just doing what you asked him to do for the betterment of yourself. Seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up hands which hang down in feebleness. Give thanks. You know, don't be heavy. Don't let that thing drag you down. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it be rather be healed. Hallelujah. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. We're going to end on this. Let me see. Hey, just about an hour. Paul's admonishment to the Galatians, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Pastor quoted that too the other day. Don't be weary in well-doing. I mean, continually to lift up others before your own self, see to the needs of the others before your own self. I mean, we all got positions in the body and the things that we have to are required of us, but you know, honestly, you know, the Bible talks about the gifts of helps, and that's somebody that has, everybody should have that desire to help their brother. But when you have the gift of helps, that is somebody that actually can look out and see and they have a discernment to say this area needs attention or this needs attention or this sister, you know, I don't have to wait for her to ask me or this brother to ask because I already see that there's a need. You know, I understand they have a busy day or they have this complication, and whatever service I can render, I'm going to do, okay? You know, and obviously the Father has given us, to whom much is given, much is required. So we each have our places that we're accounted for doing and responsible for doing, but and somebody else can't really fill them like they should, but they'll do it. I mean, like here, the brethren here, I mean, years ago, Pastor told them on my behalf because of what happened to me in 2008 is that you take as much off of this as Elder Becker as you can. And the brothers have been absolutely faithful to the point they don't let me do nothing. You know what I'm saying? So you almost have to, you almost start to feel worthless the other way. The devil starts to condemn yourself the other way. Like, well, what good, you know, but come on, it's just a devil. But it's just something because it's in their heart, you know? You know, like I was saying earlier, we had brothers that have visited here. We just had a recent brother visit here and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, he said, what absolutely astounds me on a level I've never seen is the love that the people here display. I mean, people are just, they're floored by that. They're floored by the peace. We have the heathen. drive down here for whatever reason, you know, if they have to work on change a tractor tire or whatever services that we require somebody else, it's the same testimony, man. They feel the peace. They may not understand it, but they still feel it because it's the Spirit of the Most High. All right. But he's in this place. All right. Back to verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you don't give up, throw in the towel. Again, Jesus, you know, we can quote that we can find peace in the midst of the storm, but when the storm is upon us, can we actually find it? Is it actually there? You know, the waves are roaring and everything looks like it's complete despair, like this hopelessness, but there is absolutely a place that you can get to no matter what is coming on in your life, that there's always peace with it because you know who you trust. And I'm still getting there. So I haven't arrived yet. I'm just admitting that. But glory to the King. Pray for me that I get there. Hallelujah. Anyway, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Boy, that's talk about not growing weary and well-doing. Paul puts them together. Let's do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Well, hallelujah. You have to be in the household of faith to do good to the household of faith. You can't act like you're a saint when you're not. Anyway, hallelujah. That's for another blog talk. But hey, that's the end of the blog talk. I sure hope you all enjoyed it. You know, forgive me for my earlier meltdown, but hey, I just love Yah's word. And you know what? It just convicts the heart sometimes. Just you know how it is. Y'all know how it is, don't you? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. But anyway, hey, it was all a blessing to have y'all in the room tonight. And hey, the feasts are coming. The fall feasts are here. In fact, we already started with trumpets. We thank the Most High for that. We had a joyous time. We had the righteous gathered together. And of course, atonement's coming the end of the week. And then, of course, we have tabernacles, the last feast of the year. And I'll tell you what, we always have a good time. It's absolutely a beautiful time. It's good to see the brethren. But hey, if y'all willing, I'll see y'all in about 4 weeks again. And I hope y'all are encouraged that you endure and keep fighting the good fight of faith, because these temptations come continually. Don't run away from them. Face them. Get on your knees. Get deliverance. Cry out. Whatever it takes. But don't let the devil take you away out of what the Father brought you into and tried to sanctify you, so you can see him in eternity as your King. All right? All right. Glory to y'all. Bless y'all. And we'll see you in 4 weeks. Shalom, shalom, shalom.